This is The Beat, a conversation about the Charleston County Sheriff's Office and our community. I'm your host, Oshie Alford.
Hello again, and welcome to The Beat. My name's Oshie, I am your hostess, and with me, I am joined by...
Detective Barry Goldstein with the Charleston County Sheriff's Office.
Okay. Detective Goldstein works on the cold cases, but cases in particular involving homicide missing persons. So we're talking again about another cold case. So this one is about the stabbing. It's a homicide that happened on Ashley Phosphate back in 2002.
Yes. Deputies responded to the Hess station, which is located at 2685 Ashley Phosphate Road. Mm-hmm. So to make it a lot easier, it's a large gas station on Ashley Phosphate Road at the corner of Stahl Road.
The victim's name was Franklin Glenn Cadell?
Yes.
Okay. And he had been working there part-time, just picking up some night shifts as well at the Hess station, and was 48 years of age at the time. So can you walk me through what we know?
Police were summoned there between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m. Customers went into the store, and they were not able to locate the clerk. Mm-hmm. The store was open for business. It was a 24-hour gas station. They notified law enforcement, and law enforcement went in, and they discovered where the cash register had been tampered with. In a search of the gas station, they discovered Mr. Cadell had been stabbed and was murdered. Mm-hmm. The investigation began, and detectives canvassed the neighborhood. It's a commercial area. You have Waffle House up there, a lot of 24-hour places where detectives were able to get video from where they can. They also had a lot of hotels. This case happened, again, in 2002, which is before I came to the agency. Back then, we're dealing with VCRs and other machines that had the ways of playing whatever recordings they had, which are no longer exist. Mm-hmm. I have pictures that were made of different locations that I'm able to look at. But the perpetrators had facial cover on, mm-hmm. so it's really of no help. Mm-hmm. Those detectives went out and canvassed the area, continued to canvass, and worked the case as hard as they can. But being the neighborhood that it is, very commercial, very transient, mm-hmm. or could be local people in there, they were not able to solve the case. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are today. I've been in contact with the family of Mr. Cadell. His daughter contacts me on certain times that are important in their lives. And I brief them with what I have. At this time, there's nothing positive to report where I have any leads. But it's an active case that I have to start from scratch. And again, I have to read it, read all the statements, and then become a part of it and try to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Also, I have to look at whatever evidence they have. And the detectives and the forensics unit had taken into custody on that night. And try to come up with some type of suspect. Mm-hmm. And that's where we are today. But as we spoke on another case, these cold cases, there are approximately anywhere from 18 to 20 within Charleston County now, mm-hmm. that I'm responsible for. So I have families calling me all the time, and working on a cold case or a fresh case, you have to stay with it and keep it fresh in your mind and think of different aspects that you have to do to try to solve it. Mm-hmm. And these cold cases like this one, I was not with the agency. So I have to go to the location at Ashley Phosphate Install. And I've done this, go inside the store and look at the layout of the store, because the majority of times the layout of the store is not going to change. Mm-hmm. And try to figure out what I read inside the police reports. This here case, there's one detective that's still with the agency. He's not a detective, he's assigned to another unit. The other detectives have other jobs. I contacted one. He was of no benefit. Memory lapse.
Well, several years ago. It's been over 20 years.
Back then, it was 10 years. Mm-hmm. So any detail. And a detective works so many cases, it's hard to remember unless you give them their notes. So I'm pretty much working this case from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Well, and this was, of course, before the advent of social media, too. So the footage that you may have been able to get at that time, or the photos that you may have been able to get at that time, aren't going to be nearly as detailed as something you would take on, like, your iPhone nowadays.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And even back then, when you're dealing with facial cover, you have to depend on physical evidence. Mm-hmm. You have to depend on fingerprints, DNA, if the suspect left blood behind. When you're working a case like this inside of a public establishment, you have to decipher the fingerprints. Is it a customer's? Mm-hmm. Is it an assailant? Where the fingerprints came from? Our fingerprint comparison people, SLED, South Carolina Law Enforcement, we have to document where our fingerprints were located, and they will decide if to go look at them. Mm-hmm. Because they cover so many cases. They cover the whole state of South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So if you have a fingerprint on a door where entering an establishment, they won't even compare it, because mm-hmm. that could be a customer.
It could be anybody's, yeah.
And the fingerprint could match somebody. Give it to law enforcement. Law enforcement end up going to speak with this person, may or may not accuse them of committing the crime, mm-hmm. and they were just a customer. Mm-hmm. So you have to be so careful on how you move forward, let alone a case like this being so old. This case is 21 years old.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I know that technology is constantly developing. So have you found, in your experience, some older cases where you had evidence that you couldn't really work with at the time, but then a new technology or a new tool was developed and you were able to utilize that previous evidence with that new technology and give you a little bit more detail onto what's going on?
For many years, law enforcement depended on witnesses coming forward, giving them statements, telling them what happened. Law enforcement went to court with those cases based on witness statements, witness identifications and photo lineups, and we have found out presently that the wrong people had been convicted of the crime. Mm. So law enforcement moved forward, and I'm talking 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. So law enforcement has moved forward with physical evidence, where fingerprints were being compared. Mm-hmm. And we would use fingerprints along with the witness statements and photo lineups to go to court and attempt to get a conviction. Mm-hmm. I believe in 1995 is when I started dealing with DNA. Now, the majority of our criminal investigations, and the audience will see, everything in today's court system having to do with a criminal case is two things. One is DNA, the other is cell phone records. Hmm. Our cell phone technology is just so advanced, we're able to get evidence off of that. Let me move back to DNA. DNA, a lot of times it's called touch DNA. You'll have DNA where you'll have perspiration. left behind. You'll have a cigarette butt, a beer bottle, so that's saliva, DNA. And our forensics, and I'm going to talk about Charleston County Sheriff's Office, processes all this, and they expedite it to the South Carolina law enforcement, or if need be, they'll send it to a outside laboratory. The South Carolina law enforcement is backed up because everything is forensics, as I stated earlier. So depending on the volatility of the case, then the, my supervisors, commanders, will discuss where this DNA needs to be examined. And sometimes we, majority of the time, we'll get it back faster. And we're where we are able to make a case. But physical evidence, I want to go back over it, is so important in the conviction of anybody because you're taking their liberty away from them. First step of arrest, you're putting them in the detention center. And then once you complete trial, they're ended up in Department of Corrections. So it has to be right. It has to be the right people. And law enforcement takes it seriously. And this agency takes it seriously.
For Franklin Cadell, a lot of the evidence that you have from then, how much of that is physical evidence?
I won't say how much is physical, but back in 2002, I would... Fingerprints have been compared already back then, and it goes into an automated fingerprint machine. So those fingerprints may not hit back then, but they're stored in the machine.
So if something were to happen again, if there's another crime and we took fingerprints, and then they go back through that fingerprint store, it might be a match?
If the fingerprints... If an individual is fingerprinted, if he's arrested and fingerprinted in the Department of Corrections, it will go into this computer and it will hit. Then we will have an identification.
Okay. So hopefully somebody out there has some more evidence, more information that they can share with us in regards to this particular case, which is over 20 years old. And I'm sure that the family of Franklin Cadell would be very much appreciative to have some sort of justice for his homicide. I mean, it was a homicide and it was an armed robbery. Is there anything in particular that you would want them to come forward with? Any kind of specific evidence, hearsay, what have you?
Any information on what the persons involved? I will know once I interview them if the information is truthful or not. I'm not saying they would deliberately give us false information, but many times they're hearing it second, third, and fourth hand.
So it's a game
of
telephone.
So I know what is good information and what needs to be put to the side, and I can keep investigating.
If you guys have any more information that you can bring forward on the murder homicide of Franklin Glenn Cadell, please reach out to Detective Goldstein here. His email is bgoldstein@charlestoncounty.org. That's going to be attached in a link to this video, as well as his phone number. Stay safe out there, and thank you again, Detective, for joining us and telling us a little bit more about yet another cold case. This has been The Beat, a conversation about the Charleston County Sheriff's Office and our community. I'm your host, Oshie Alford. Look for future episodes by following the Charleston County Sheriff's Office on Facebook, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.